Shemen Rosh Yechzan means, Shemen is a lot of Shemen. Shemen means all the conveniences, the amenities. You should never be lacking any of your amenities. You should always have your comforts. That's the Shemen. Then, Re'ei Chayim in Isha Asher Ahavta, Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha, fits in Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha. He says, a good wife. This is what the Hamon, this is, he depicts the life, the perfect life that the average fool fantasizes about. See? Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha. Asher Nosam Lecha Tachas Hashemesh. Kol Yimei Hevlecha. Because this is life. That's it. Ki Yuchalkecha B'chayim. He says it. V'amolcha Asher To'omol Tachas Hashemesh. This is your part of life. Because, like he said, continues directly the way he said before, that all we know is this life, the life of the emotions, and this we're excited about. So this is the formula. This is the formula. Nice house, a nice car, a good wife, and feeling good about yourself, nice clothes. This is basically the, this is the philosophy, this is what the Haman wants. Of course they, of course they'll keep Allah. It's nice also. You have Kiddush, you have a family, Shabbos, very, everything is beautiful. It's all very nice.
So why are we doing all this?
All about it. It fits into this frame, the frame, this image. You have to fit into this. This is the image of this is the image of life. Basically, that's what Ibn Ezra explains the whatever you can do in this world, do it. Because there is what?
That's right.
Exactly. Because where are you going?
The place that you're going is not. You're not going to have any of these amenities.
So therefore, whatever you can do now, this is life. Do it now. That's it. Don't hesitate.
This is the philosophy of the Haman. This is the philosophy of the Haman.
And it's a very attractive. It is the most potent, the most attractive philosophy. You see,
that grabs most people. And prevents them from seeing
the truth.
Why is it so?
Because you see, it's an interesting thing.
He says, in the next Yupsukim,
you don't understand exactly what he's saying, but
I'll tell you what it is. He says like this. He says, Shafti v'ro tachas ha-shamash. Then I take a look under the sun, and what do I see?
Kilo la-kalam ha-merots, not to the people who are quick runners, the escape.
The lola gibon ha-mulchama, people are strong, people don't always win the battle.
The gam lola chachon lachem.
The smartest people many times, they're not successful, they don't have any, they can lose their finances.
The gam lola nefonim osha.
Not the deep thinkers don't always have unsuccessful finances. The gam lola yodim chayim, even people have knowledge.
So they also don't really, aren't able to accomplish what they want with their knowledge.
Ki eis v'fega yikras kulon.
But suddenly something occurs.
He says a person doesn't know his time. We're like fish that are caught up in a bad trap, or like birds in a snare. He says, for when the evil time occurs, suddenly it's all over. You see?
What does it mean?
What he means is like this. What he means is he's showing you a little bit that this idea, this picture that he just described of the good life, you see, what people call the good life, that's so attractive to them, is basically false. You see, it's false in two counts. It's false on a psychological count, because there is no such life. It just doesn't exist. It's a very nice storybook picture, but it doesn't exist. Because that type of a picture does not take into consideration the internal makeup of man, the internal psyche of man. That picture tries to remove all the parts of man's essence that would tend to disturb and destroy this picture, his inner conflicts, his inner nature, you see. And therefore, the picture's a false one. But it's a very attractive one. Very attractive one. See, the Chacham knows that this picture's false. The Chacham is the person who knows that life is a little deeper than that. You're not going to make it by the by having the amenities and the nice clothes and the good family and the good food and all these things. It's not, you're not going to make it. Why? Because man has another part of his nature which is totally unsatisfied by that picture. And that's why that picture is a fantasy that people constantly are going to run after, but it's something which is impossible. which will never lead to the person's happiness. Nevertheless, he maintains that this is the most influential force which drives people away from perfection. Why does it drive people away from perfection? Because the true happiness is only really by understanding human nature and understanding what life is and living in accordance with life. But this fantasy picture is a very powerful, very powerful force, because he believes that it could be true. What he does is he deletes from the picture all the, like a person who lives such life and have problems, I'll say, what's the matter? What's going on? Someone will ask him. Oh, there's problems here and there. He's not going to face the fact that the reason why he has problems is because there's some tremendous philosophical wrong going on here. He's not living properly. No. It's a detail. I get this detail out of the way, and then I go back to the picture. Temporarily, he's out of the picture. The only thing is that this temporariness usually lasts all his life. But besides that, he says, the fact is that the uncontrollable factors destroy the picture also. See, the uncontrollable factors destroy the picture. An illness in a family, somebody dies, the all these other, the extraneous elements that are not controllable should prevent man from drawing this picture and thinking that that's going to give him happiness, because there are too many factors that are uncontrollable. Because the Kadogish Nachaz Mam Tzoda, Kain Mikashim Ne'adam, La'is Rock, Asher Tipol Aleihem Pisam, immediately, suddenly, it's all over. It means that the uncontrollable factors he does not take into consideration. That's what he's saying. In painting this picture, he does not take into consideration reality. The only one that takes into consideration reality is the Chacham. Because the Chacham lives life in accordance with his nature precisely. Doesn't matter. The uncontrollable factors don't affect the Chacham, because every minute he's alive, he's living. This person who lives in the fantasy is trying to paint a picture, but that picture requires certain things. And it doesn't, the Pach does not fit into it. It doesn't fit into that picture. They say, "Kishayov aleim leis ra, kishatipa aleim pisam," does not fit in there. You see. So aside from the indies, this picture is bombarded, really, is destroyed by internal and external factors. Nevertheless, this picture of the good life in a person's mind is the most powerful force and will guide most of humanity. That's what Kahalas is saying. Those are absurd.
What's the internal?
Now, there's just one more fact I want to tell. One more fact that he takes up.
Explain the external. What about the internal?
One more thing he mentions. One more thing he mentions. Last thing. That is also a very powerful influence on a person's life, and is false. It's interesting. This last thing is like this. He says, "Gamzo ra'isi chokhma tachas ha-shemesh u'gedolo hi eloi," and it's very great to me. Very important. What is the case? It's like this. He gives a little mushroom. He says, "Ir Kitana is a small city, v'anashim bo ma'ot," and there are a few people in the city. "Uvo eleho melech gadol," and a powerful king confronts the city, v'sovavoso, surrounds it. "Ubono eleho metzodim gadolim," and he builds around the city big
bulwarks,
right. To siege the city. Now he says like this. Some want to say, what is going on over here? So the Ibn Ezra brings down, some want to say that it's the Kadmonim, he says, Farshan Kadmonim Amru, Kizel Derech Mashal. They want to say it's a Mashal. He says, Deir Kitana, the small city, is referring to a person's body. Vanoshim Boma'at, Bale Koach Atalodos, Meshor Sehanefesh. He says, these are the forces that serve the soul. Umelach Gadol, what was the great king? Is the Yetzirah. Uish HaMiskein, and who is the Ish HaMiskein? He says, the next part says, Umatzah Bo Ish Miskein, and you'll find an impoverished person, a person of low station, Chacham, who is very wise. Umilatu Esa'ir B'Chachmasa, and he saves the city with his wisdom. V'odam Lo Zohar Esa'ish HaMiskein Aro. And nobody remembered, he means in the past, this person, this impoverished person was nothing, had no status. Right. So some want to say it's a mushal for the human life, that he's mentioning. And that which saves the human life is the impoverished part, the sechel, the part of the intellect of man. But Ibn Ezra says like this, He says he doesn't think so. He says he thinks it's not a derech mashal. It's really, of course, it is a mashal, but it's not that kind of a mashal. It's a plain mashal. Doesn't mean that this happened, but he's giving you an example. But you'll find that both of these pshatim really coincide in a sense. So let's take the plain pshat. It means like this. He says there's a city, a small city, and then somebody surrounds the city. An evil king wants to destroy the city, and what happens? And there's an impoverished person, a person that has no name whatsoever. He's just a chacham, okay? And he saves the city, and nobody remembered that chacham. What do you mean nobody remembered the chacham? It doesn't mean afterwards. It means before. Nobody really cared about the chacham before. You have to learn that way. It means means nobody before ever recognized this person. But suddenly they needed him, and he was a chacham. He saved the city. Then he says, "Vamati ani," and I said, "Tov v'chachma l'gvura, v'chachma samiskein bezuyo dvarav ena mishmoyim." He says, "The wisdom of this impoverished person is degraded, and no one listens to his words." What does he mean? Sounds great. He saved the city, so why shouldn't listen to his words? It means like this. What he means is that another powerful force, which prevents the person from seeing the true way of life. This is one of the most gdolei leilei says, is that, see, people the mashal that he gives, it means like this. It means that the chacham is the person in his case, what he's depicting, the chacham is the person who is pure wisdom. Pure wisdom, but he has nothing else. He has nothing else, so nobody respects him. Because why should anybody? Nobody really respects chachma per se. They only respect chachma insofar as it produces something. That's why years ago, a few hundred years ago, the person who was a mathematician, who was a physicist, was really despised because there was nothing practical that he could produce. So he was looked upon as a crazy person. I mean, if you read David Hume in the beginning of his book, he talks about that. He says the philosophers are always looked down upon. Today, of course, is different, because today, with modern science, the advent of modern science, so a mathematician helps produce things that people enjoy, so therefore he's great. But insofar as Chochmah per se is concerned, people don't really care about a Chochmah. People look at a Chochmah like a nut. I mean, he's completely away from reality. Everybody's involved in their avosim and sanasim and sanasim, right? And this guy's sitting over there reading. What is he reading? Studying a book. I mean, it's nothing to be envious of. Nobody really cares too much about this person. He's like completely out of reality. He's out of reality to them. So this is what he says. It's like this. He says, but what happened is that this person saved the whole city. It means to say it occurs sometimes, once in a while it occurs, that you need the chacham. So occasionally, what will happen is that this chacham, who was considered a useless article, will save the entire city through his wisdom, you see. But nobody before that ever really recognized this chacham as anything. He had a very very low station in life because nobody really cared about what he was doing. But now, suddenly, they'll say, oh, you see? Now they need him. He says, V'amarti ani, and I said, Tova chachma l'gvura. That the chachma is greater than gvura. Gvura is what everybody respects. Power, you see. But the truth of the matter is that the only thing, when power fails, there's only one hope for man. The only thing that really could save man is his chachma, not the power. That's the marshal of David and Goliath. Goliath was power, but David HaMelech was Chochmah, you see? So the truth of the matter is, in reality, Chochmah is the only salvation for man, is through his Chochmah. That's the only salvation. But basically, nobody really respects Chochmah per se. And he says, V'chochmah samiskein bezuya u'dvar av einam nishmoyim. He says, the most difficult, one of the greatest difficulties that prevents a person from really being involved in the Chochmah. This is it becomes a psychological phenomenon also. That when I'm talking about Chochmah, I mean a person really to appreciate Chochmah for the sake of Chochmah. Chochmah for the sake of Chochmah is a difficult thing. Because in order for a person to do that, he has to leave the world, basically. For a person to sit down and to just study for the sake of knowledge, just to open a Gemara, for no other reason but just to enjoy this, what it means essentially is that he is leaving at that moment the whole superego of the world. He's just involved. It's as if a person would take off time just to play a game. But even playing a game is better, because playing a game, people recognize at least as some type of relaxation. So he has some type of psychological endorsement, you see, some type of superego endorsement. But Chachma, it's like he's taking off time from life. He's, what are you doing now? I'm sitting there, I mean, for this hour, what did I accomplish? I enjoyed an idea. But basically, nobody really recognizes this as being of any value. Of course, unless you translate it into other terms, like, oh, you're a great genius, or you're a famous person, or you're a great thinker, or your name will live in history, those type of things, yes. But pure, that's not pure Chachma, is it? Pure Chachma means that a person just enjoys the activity for the sake, for its own sake. And it's an activity which he does inherently for no other purpose than just to partake of this activity. But doing this activity, learning the Shema, real true learning the Shema, involves a removal, a leaving of, the person has to leave the entire world in order to do that activity. That's why Torah L'Shma is such a difficult thing. And that's what he says. That's what he mentions here. The Chochmas HaMiskein Bezuya with Dvar Vein HaMishmayim. It means it's frowned upon. The Odom Lo Zachar Seish HaMiskein Aho. They'll only recognize him in terms of if he saves the city. Then they'll recognize him. You see?
He's not doing anything different,
but
really.
He's not doing anything different. He's doing the exact same thing as he was always doing. You see? And that's why he says, even though they'll recognize the Chacham because he saved the city, but what I say is like this. I say, Tovah Chacham Megvura, yes, that's true. But I also say, Chachmas HaMiskein Bezuyo Dvarav Einam Neshmoyim. Even though later when he saves the city, everybody's going to say, oh, he's a great hero. But the truth of the matter is, Chachmas HaMiskein Bezuyo. The real essence of this man is something that's degraded, that's looked down upon, frowned upon by society. As much as they'll give him credit now, they're only doing it because he happened to save the city. But basically, what he was doing, what he was doing before, same thing, he's doing the same thing before. Did he get, what was he before? Before he was a nobody, you see? And now he's a great hero. Why? Because inherently it's Chochmas HaMiskein Bezuyo, you see? That is the most difficult. That is one of the most difficult things that stands in the way of a person gaining. Stands in the way of a person of a person's gaining knowledge and being a true chacham. It's a difficult emotional experience to leave the world, to leave those values of the world, and to learn for a few minutes with no other purpose, not to tell anybody the pshat, not to to be praised for the learning. Not to gain any extraneous gain that the world recognizes, but just for the sake of the Chachma itself. That's a difficult. That's Chachmas HaMiskein Bezuyo Dvar Ein HaMishmayim. That's one of the things that prevents a person from reaching Torah. The inability to overcome and to actually leave this world. Basically, it's tied to what he said before. It's almost, that's why one philosopher said, and very truthfully so, he said that the philosopher is not afraid of death, he says, because the philosopher practices death all his life. What does he mean? He means because everything that people consider life, which is avosam, sinosam, kinosam, all these things, you see, he leaves and he goes into another reality where he's completely involved in something else, completely away. So basically, the reason why people fear death is because they fear a loss of all their emotional existence. But the Chacham, you see, who has left all this, he's actually sacrificed. He sacrificed life already. He's the Chacham HaMiskein Bezuyo. You see, that's he's not. He doesn't fear death because basically he gave it up a long time ago, and that's the pshat in the pasuk. That's the real pshat in the pasuk. But it says Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yomos Ba'ol. Says this is the Torah. If a man dies in the Ohel, and what does Chazal say in the pasuk? Chazal dash in the pasuk that it's talking about learning Torah. Ein adam zecha b'torah linkein meimis atzma olal. What is meimis atzma? What do you mean? Kill himself. So people say it's an expression. It means he worked hard. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. You could work hard in learning. You could work hard chopping wood also. I mean, also, why don't you say it's also misa? Now, this is the only misa. This is misa because it means that the person goes into a different realm. A realm in which everything that everybody values in life, he leaves. He leaves that completely. See, it's a different state. That's adam kiyamas b'olal. That, he says, is very difficult. That is one of the most difficult things which prevent man from really attaining true knowledge. Okay, I'll stop there. There's one pasuk in specific that's that deals openly with the present political situation. Pasuk is Yeshua, Rishitachas Hashemesh. It's in, we're going to go. Actually, we left off by Yud. But the pasuk is in Yud Hey. Yesh Ruah Ra'isi Tachas HaShemesh Kishgogo Sheyotzo Milifnei HaShalet. Like a mistake that that a ruler, one who is in power, commits. There's an interesting Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says like this. He said it has to do with the previous pasuk. We'll go back with it a little bit soon. I'm just mentioning this, an interesting thing. That he says, Ki amoshel tatzrichenu menshalto sheyase dvorim hepachaymes. That the ruler, his rulership, will dictate that he does things that are the opposite of the emes, of the truth. He says the yira ki iluhem shgaga v'lo yada, and it'll appear as if it was a mistake and he didn't know what he was doing. So basically Reagan had one choice. Either he did something which was against the law, so it was hepachimus, or else the other choice is so one choice is simply to come out with him and admit that he did something wrong. The other choice is to make it look like appear like it's a shigaga, like lo yoda. Loyoda. Either way, it's not too good. But the pasuk, the beginning of this area, it's interesting. This area has to do with the chacham involved in politics and political situation. That's the area. Several pasukim over there. And he starts off in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, he says like this, Zevuve Moves, Yavish Yabia Shemen Rokeach. Right, the Marshal is, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the case of the Marshal, but it's not that difficult to imagine. Apparently there are, Zevuve Moves means, if it was an agricultural society, they had many things that they were familiar with that we aren't familiar with. But apparently there's a certain there's a time winter, during the winter time, so the flies are dying, the process of dying, and the fly falls many times into the shemer rokeach means the good oil, and what happens is apparently that the fly, when it decomposes, destroys the fragrance and the whole value of the oil. That's what it means. Zuvin Moves, Yavish Yabia Shemar Rokea. So that's the mushel. The mushel is the fly that falls into the oil, and as it decomposes, it destroys the elements of fragrance that the oil has in it and produces and gives it its whole, its essential value. What is the nimshal? So he says like this, it says, Yokar Mechachma Mikovar Sichlus Ma'at. He says it means that more important than wisdom and than honor is a small amount of foolishness, which means to say that a very small amount of small imperfection is capable of turning the entire situation into a detrimental one, even though basically it weighs the whole balance. Even though it's a small thing, it's really not a great thing proportionally. But this small thing can destroy all the chokhmah and the cover that the person has. And the Ibn Ezra explains it like this. The Ibn Ezra explains it in political terms. He says like this. He says that. Va'inyan, he says, Kamo azvuvim ha-mesim yavishu mehen ha-shem ha-sharakeach, ken yesh lo'odam shu yokar mechochmo mekavod sheyesh bo sichlus ma'at, ki sichlus ma'at lechochom yashchis zichro v'yavishenu. A small amount of foolishness will destroy his remembrance, in other words, his fame, v'yavishenu, will cause it, on the contrary, to cause it to be obnoxious. V'zeh ha'sichlus u'chet. And this, when he says this nonsense, he means, of course, chet. Because sin is based upon when a person sins, it means that he's not being governed by the part of him, which is the tzelem elokim, which is reason. And now he says like this. One sin to a chacham with davar kasha, a very difficult, powerful thing. Halo tiresh, Shlomo Hamelach nirei lav hamakom pa'amayim, ubonam makom lachol Hashem. That Shlomo Hamelach, God appeared to him several times, and he built a. He built the Middash l'kavar Hashem. V'nosva v'roch v'chvach masal l'mayla me'akad modem v'achronim. And his chachma was greater than all those that were previous before him and all those that were after him. V'lo nimtza avlasa bo. And there was no flaw found in him. Bavur chet echad shelo chipes al nashav ma'ayot. Just because of one sin that he wasn't careful to investigate and see what his wives were doing. And they built houses to their gods from Shlomo's wealth. Nichtav olav kol mash and nichtav the mikra b'divri achiyo in Nechemya. The Torah writes about him all these very derogatory statements. Ve'yilei sezit nas Shlomo nashav hites levavo v'holo holach. Hashem, pasuk over there, psukim over there, three strict psukim. Yeah, have you got a small bow? I mean, look, Noah Malach is off. Noah Malach. She knows, she knows. So the pasuk says, Vayas, it's in Noah Malach, Yud Aleph. Pasuk is off. Vayas Shlomo, hara b'ini Hashem. Lo mila yachar Hashem k'dovet over. He didn't follow God like his father David. Oz yivne Shlomo b'omo l'chmo, shikets mo'ov. And Chazal say, of course, that he didn't really build it; his wives built it, but it's attributed to him. God appeared to him twice, and still he deviated. Because of that, God said, "I'll take the kingdom away from his children." So when you read the psukim, you read Chazal, what the Torah actually thinks of Shlomo Melech, all Sefer Kohelet and Mishlei and the Chochma and. And all the praise that he received, and why should he? All right, so I made one mistake. But why does he? Why is it right to give him such a rebuke, such a strong rebuke? So the Ibn Ezra says, that's what Ibn Ezra says over here. He says that you see, even though he was on such a high level, and there was there's no fault found in him. Nevertheless, one mistake. And the Torah immediately cuts him down and degrades him. Seriously, really. Why is that so? That's the pasuk. Zuvei moves yavish yabi Hashem arokeach. And it's true. It's true. The point is like this. The point is, a person who is in power, a person who is in a high position, if he has one element of foolishness. No matter what he did, even though he did intelligent things all along, I mean, as you see in the situation before us, I'm not in politics. I'm just saying, basically, everybody was praising Reagan. He was about to go down as one of the greatest presidents. They're comparing him with FDR, a tremendous cover, and all of a sudden now he's a total fool, and the world is laughing at him. The reason is, why is this so? Why are people so inconsistent? And people should say, look, yesterday we thought it was great, so he made a mistake. Nah, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. It's either all or nothing. What's the reason for it? The reason is that when a person is in a situation of power, it's not what he does, really, that's important to the people that are observing him. What he does reflects a certain image. It's the image that the people are attracted to. It's not his performance. So therefore, in everything that he does that people approve of, you see, in everything he does that people approve of, they praise him. It's not because of the qualities, the particular qualities that he has, that they praise him. But rather, it's because of a certain image that he creates and he projects. This image exists in the minds of those who are evaluating him. And the image doesn't tolerate, can't tolerate a counter image. In other words, an action which actually projects a counter image. That's why the moment there's any flaw, the man is totally shattered, and people withdraw completely from him. Because they say all along, it's false, it's phony, it's a fake. I mean, it was a fake. Did he do those things or didn't he do those things? The truth of the matter is that the people really fool themselves. Because what they're looking for is a certain image, and based upon certain actions, they create a tremendous image of this person. And then, if anything occurs, which is a result of foolishness, you see, so the entire image is shattered. And it could be that that it is for that reason that the Torah really severely reprimanded Shlomite. Why? Because it's not really as a person that he was reprimanded. Because basically, as a person, you can't take away from an individual all his chachma and all the things that he did, that Shlomo did, and the greatness, as the pasuk says, the whole idea of Shlomo's malucha, which was chachma l'shem Hashem, that they came from all over the world to hear his chachma. And the chachma was a kiddush Hashem Shemayim. And Chachma, we know, is the highest virtue. As you see over here, Chet is referred to as sichlus, foolishness. So, but the reason why the Torah reprimanded him severely is because of the fact that even though it was one area in which he made a mistake, but that area was responsible for shattering the whole image of that he portrayed. And that's why it was necessary for the Torah to reprimand him, and not to, because of the fact that in the terms of the people, if the Torah wouldn't reprimand him, it would appear that the original image of him being, it says, "Lominsa avlos abal," of him being flawless, would prevent people from seeing the mistake that he made. And the Torah didn't want to hide the mistake. The Torah had to represent its reprimand in the framework of the people, in the framework of the people, that one mistake that he made actually destroyed his entire image. That's what the pasuk means. Zuve Moves Yavish Shabi Hashem Rekeh. Yes.
Can you draw a parallel to Moses?
True was a small error actually, and a great man like Shlomo Kolom Shlomo Lachotein Elatot. Mistake. This was a great man, but nevertheless there was a small element of error. But that small element of error, because of the political situation, actually resulted in the entire destruction of his purpose. The purpose was Hashem Hashem, and the result was that the Avodah Zarah gained prominence, say, and became, there was a removal of the Isra Avodah Zarah. The Isra Avodah Zarah was mitigated. It was a mitigation on Avodah Zarah, which is the dangerous, most dangerous thing to Klal Yisrael. That was why the Torah reprimands him so severely. Yeah, actually, in the you're right. In the end, they do praise him. But it seems contradictory. It's not contradictory. The person he was a great person, but in terms of politically, that small error that he made was responsible for the destruction of the whole Rikhot of Avodah Zarah.
Yes.
So Klal Yisrael, the most important thing is that Avodah Zarah should have the greatest stigma in order to keep people away from Avodah Zarah. He mentions also in two psukim further down, he says, "Amruach HaMoshe Tale Olecha Mekomcho Al Tanach Ki Marpe Yaniach Haton Gedolam." What does it mean? And Ruach HaMoshe Yale Alecha. So the Ruach HaMoshe means the spirit of the spirit of the ruler. Moshe was the ruler. So he says like this. He mentions the Ibn Ezra says like this. He says, "Imalisa b'chachmasecha ad milas hamemshala." If because of your chachma you've reached the state of political recognition, power, political recognition, that happens to certain chachamim reach that state. I mean, Ben Isaac Abavina was one of the most powerful figures in medieval times. So is sometimes the chacham is in a situation where he becomes a political force. So then he says, "In ruach haMoshe yala alecha." If you find that you're in the situation of malchus, mekomcha al tana, you shouldn't leave your place. What does it mean you shouldn't leave your place? Interesting thing. Va'enyan, he says, it's either one of two things. He says either shiftless ruach. It means you shouldn't leave your feeling of lowness about yourself, your humility, which means to say humility, as we explained, is a natural way a person should feel about himself if he understands the whole his place in the universe. Okay, that's one shot. Or he says like this, oh and yano, or it means like this, she yisase gam b'chochma tomit kimo shehoya b'tchila. That's what he says. He says, or it means that you should not refrain from being osek and chachma, just like you always did before you were a powerful person. He says constantly, as if you didn't move from your spot. Doesn't mean you should just open a gemara once in a while. It means that even though he's involved in being a leader, but he can't leave his involvement, his constant involvement in Chachmah. It's an interesting thing. What is the, you see, as we mentioned before, according to Yadis, there's really only one normal state of man. What is the normal state of man? The state of involvement in Chachmah. That's when every part of his psyche is in order. But when he's out of that state, he's crazy. You see? That's Vasatan Vavartam Limacharam Kivin Shasora Damitavitara Miyad Vavartam Limacharam. The moment a person leaves this state of learning and being involved in thought and ideas, he's a crazy man. Because basically man is crazy. But the only thing that keeps him normal, that makes him normal, is when he's involved in Chokhmah. Then his soul is in order. So that's what he says. He says the Ruach, there's a tremendous danger. And here Shlomo recognizes the most dangerous emotion is the Ruach HaMoshel. The Ruach HaMoshel. When a person feels a sense of greatness or a sense of power, that is the most dangerous emotion in man. So he says, "In ruach haMoshe yala lecha." If you're in a situation that you are recognized politically, and you have the opportunity to enjoy the sense of power and the sense of greatness, mekom chal tanach, don't leave your place. Don't leave your place means don't leave the degree of involvement in the chachma that you always had up to this point. Because he says, if you do, v'dash im hisrapiso, if you are weak about this, yanichacho harafui im chatoin gedolim, then it'll lead you to tremendous sins. Tremendous sins. Which means that the greatest chacham, actually, cannot protect himself in any way, you see, from the onslaughts of the emotions of power that corrupt a person's mind and distort reality. There's no way, no matter how much he knows, there's no way that he could protect himself. There's only one solution. And that solution is a constant state of involvement in Chokhmah Sashan. And if he leaves that state, then he's corrupt. And no matter how much knowledge he has, he's a goner. Because what's going to happen is that he's just going to rely on those emotions, and that's it. There's no way that he could possibly be successful in terms of his soul, because even the greatest chacham, the moment his chacham is not operating, not functioning, so his emotions are functioning. His emotions are crazy also. An interesting puzzle. Now let's just go back to the two pesukim we skipped. He says, "Leiv chacham liyamino." It's all tied in one idea. Leiv chacham liyamino v'leiv ksilas smolo. Famous pasuk that the heart of the chacham is on his right side, and the heart of the fool is on his left side. But Ibn Ezra said, in New Medicine, he said that the heart is really dead center. Just tilt a little bit towards the left. He says, so it's not referring to the physiology of a person. But what does it mean? He says, the amino means, the amin is the most people are writing. So it doesn't mean to say that they don't have to be attached from the left, he says, but the Pasuk speaking about the general population. Most people are writing. Writing means the right represents Yemin Hashem Osachoyel. The right represents strength and power. So what it means is like this. That the Lev Chacham Yemin means that the heart of the Chacham is on his right side. It means that the Chacham's heart is translated, his emotions are translated immediately into successful action. Yemin represents successful action. So Lev Chacham Yemin means that the heart of the Chacham is translated immediately into successful endeavors. What does that mean? What does he mean to say by that passage? What he means to say is that the emotions of the Chacham are different, really, than the emotions of the fool. See? It's a different phenomena. The way the emotions of the fool are, the attraction of the emotions and the power of the emotions prevent him from doing which is rational. But the emotions of the Chacham are different. And even his emotions are he senses with his emotions, because without emotions, a person can't work, especially in a political situation. It's impossible to a person to work without emotions in mathematics. But he can't work without emotions in politics and dealing with people. So he has to have emotions. But the emotions are such that they don't corrupt his action. They're like antennas, that they pick up the information and he works with the information, but it's the yamin. It means they don't have the compelling force and power over his nature. So this would seem to be a contradiction. This is what he says before in the pasuk, 2:4. Is it a contradiction to what he says in Ruach HaMosh Talach HaMakom Chal Tanach, that he says that the Chacham has the same crazy emotions? The answer is no. It means because it means it depends when. If the Chacham leaves the learning situation, then his emotions become just as crazy as another person. He has to be in a constant state of Chachma. But if he's in the learning situation, if he's in the situation of Chachma, situation of Chachma is working its effects on him, then his emotions are of a different type. And his emotions are translated immediately into successful action, whereas the emotions of the seal is the small, it means it's going in an untoward direction. And the only way the fool can be successful is if he, in the times that he is successful, is either by happenstance, by chance, or else if in certain cases he may be able to bend the emotion, certain individual cases. But as a general rule, he can't. Whereas the Chacham's emotions are used immediately to help him into translating his desires into the proper channels. Yeah. If you ask me what is the mark of the difference between the Chacham's emotions and the fool's emotions, what is the mark of the Chacham's emotions? I would say one thing. The Chacham's emotions are not compulsive. That's the difference. You see, and that's what the Rambam means when he says that what is the proper way for the emotions? The Shvil Azov, the golden mean, is what? What does it mean, the in-between state? What does it mean by the golden mean? It means a state in which there's no compulsiveness of emotions. That's the beauty of the Chacham's, the structure of the Chacham's soul. That he has the emotions, but the emotions don't exert a compulsive force upon him. You see? He sees, he could see a situation where he has a certain emotional desire, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't become a mishigas. He's not compulsive about it. Yes, it might be better to do that. Think about it. But if it doesn't happen, there's no disappointment. The emotions of the Chacham are not compulsive. That's the difference. But the only way that when do the emotions become compulsive, basically? When there's no thought. That's when the emotions come to both. The person is involved in Chokhmah, the person is involved in Torah, there are no compulsions. Compulsion is a sign of that the person is not involved in Chokhmah. Must have something. That's the sign of compulsion. Compulsion, you must have something, That means the person that it's a demonstration of a symptom. The symptom is he's not involved in prasad. That's the mark. Interesting pasuk. It also says pasuk gimel says the gam bederech shehasochal holeich libo chaser. The way that the fool travels, his heart is lacking. V'omar lakol sochalo, and he tells everybody he's a fool. Amazing pasuk. What is he trying to say? An interesting thing. V'omar lakol sochalo, and he tells everybody he's a fool. What does he mean? What's the idea he's trying to tell you? An interesting idea. The concept is that there is no way to hide it. Exactly. There is no way to hide it. That's right. So what he's saying is that the moment a person is a sochal, and the structure of his soul is changed, and the nonsense overpowers him, Omar Lakol, even if he knows it, and he recognizes that it's crazy, and he'll try to protect himself against it, it won't work. Omar Lakol Sochal. Because the emotion blinds the intellect and will prevent him from seeing how the manifestations of his foolishness are actually taking place. And it's obvious to everybody. It's an interesting thing. Of course, it's obvious to everybody, the other guy's emotions. Their emotions are not obvious. But even a person is not a great chacham, but when he sees somebody else's emotions, he can spot it right away. Because in that area, he's objective. He's very simple. In that area, his selam alakim is working. He can be objective. In his area, he can't. Now that's the point that busts. Then you have the pasuk hey, the one we did before. Yesh ro reisitachas hashemesh kishgoga sheyotza milifnei hashalat. Like a mistake that takes place, that comes out of the hands of the ruler. I think what it means over here also is that the situation of you see, I think it could be another shot in the pasuk. Why does he mention this over here? He says it's like a mistake that the ruler makes. Him, so he said, so the Gemara says that really, if he was smart, I mean, why didn't he ask for Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says that even the Chachamim sometimes, one time the Gemara says, even the Chachamim sometimes get caught in a moment and they make a mistake. See? I think what it means is, what the Pasuk means is, that the Ruach HaMoshel is such a powerful emotion in man. That even if he doesn't cater to it, you see, sometimes a person caters to an emotion and follows an emotion. So he's wrong. But the Ruach HaMoshe is such a powerful force that even if he doesn't follow it, but it exerts such a tremendous influence on him that many times it'll result in shgaga. It'll result in a mistake because it clouds his mind. And even if he's aware of it. And he doesn't want to follow the Ruach HaMoshel, but nevertheless, its presence is so powerful that when he has to make decisions, it will many times cause him to err, to make a mistake. That's what he means. I think that's what he means. Yesh ro'o ro'isi tachas hashomesh, kishgoga sheyotza melifnei hashalot. See? Means to say that this is an evil, sheyotza tachas hashomesh, he's not blaming the person. But the situation is such that this emotion is such a powerful one in man, the desire for power, the Ruach HaMoshel, that even if he doesn't cater to it, many times, because of its mere existence, its influence, it prevents his mind from exercising its intellectual process. And therefore, he will make a mistake. Okay. And it means that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was placed in a situation of power momentarily because Vespasian said whatever you want, and the Ruach HaMoshe caused him to make a mistake. See? Of course, you're right. I mean, if the Chaim's right, it doesn't mean he just made a crazy mistake. It means that at that moment, if he would have thought it over, been able to think it over, objectively, without the influence of the emotion, he would have asked for Yerushalayim. But on the spot, he thought maybe it's too much and this, and that's why he didn't do it. That's why Chazal say, Al Tam Matzahad Yom Asfar. Because they recognize that we do not believe that there's an inherent change, any inherent change in a person that makes him a saint. There's no such phenomenon. As long as his soul is in a certain order, in a certain situation where he's involved in Chachma, then he's fine. But you take him away from that, and that's, you know, that's actually the Gemara with Rabbi Akiva, with the, when the Romans want them to stop learning. So he gave the mussel, the fish, and the fox, right? He says, that's it. If we stop learning, what do you mean? So you say, well, Rabbi Akiva, say, we'll learn. So he's still Rabbi Akiva. So he doesn't learn for a few days. So what? So wait till Zera passes, and that's it. No. Can't wait till Zera passes. Because if we're not involved in learning, then that's the end of the whole thing. That's a fish that's not in water can't live for a few minutes. It's instant death. So that's what he said. That's the idea. That's, we don't have any concept of inherent superiority of a person. There's no one that's inherently superior. He's only superior as long as he's in a certain state where he is involved in Chochmah and consulting his Tzelem Elokim. He stops consulting his Tzelem Elokim, he's like anybody else. Shor Kolam. That's why, actually, there were shittas that held that you could really change your midas. You work on your midas, and you change your midas. I don't believe such a thing is possible. I believe it is possible to change a characteristic. That is, I'm not going to deny that. But that will not lead to perfection of man. Because changing a characteristic, let's say, is good. It's only good insofar as you remove a compulsive force from your soul. Because if a person has a compulsive force operating on him, and he doesn't remove it, so then he can't do anything. See? He can't have any progress. But there is no such thing as simply perfecting the midos. I'll perfect all my midos, and now that's it. From then on, it's smooth sailing. There's no such thing. Because the only smooth sailing there is when a person, like we said before, is in the normal state for man. So the only one that had it was Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet. But after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, without the constant input of Chochma, then he has to be corrupt. And there's no such thing as perfecting the midos to the point where I have perfect midos, and now we're just going to do it automatically. That's it. Yeah, because he was in a constant state of Chochma. In a constant state of Chochma, of course. The perfection of man is a condition. Perfection of man is a condition. Most people have the idea that you can actually change a person, and now he's a different person, he's a perfected person. We don't hold that way. The only way to be perfected is to be in a certain condition. That condition is a person subordinating himself to Chachma Solokin. If he, the moment he stops that, that's it. That's what the Gemara says. What the Gemara says? The Gemara says that Shano Pirish. It's big Talmud Chachma, the Gemara says. Talmud Chachma. Shano Pirish is the worst thing. What is Shano Pirish? Shano Pirish means a man. Chazal say Shana, they mean he wasn't an Amartz. It means he knew how to learn. He knew Masechtas. He knew Shas. But Shano Pirish, Lav Le'olam, the Gemara says that's it. He's finished. Great Talmud Chacham. Shano Pirish. How is it possible? How is it possible that such a phenomenon? It's a great Talmud Chacham. Chazal call him a Talmud Chacham. The answer is it is possible. He's a great Talmud Chacham. True. He has all the knowledge. But if he stops being involved in that knowledge, that's it. He's finished. No matter how much he knew, it doesn't mean anything. There's no effect on him. It's even worse. Shano Pirish Lav Le'olam is one of the worst states. Yeah. Emotion is responsible for such an idea is basically an overestimation of itself. The person wants to think that he could be in a state where he's inherently perfected and he doesn't need any conditions to perfect it. Chofer Gumotz. Chofer Gumotz Bo Yipol. Uforeitz Goder Yishachem Anachash. Yaino. Nitan Asecho Bamram Rab Mashim Bashefo Yishefo means that that many times the fools are in the high places and the Ashirim represents the people that should be in the higher places are low and downtrodden. And then he goes on, he says, I've seen servants riding on horses, and I've seen also the princes walking on the ground like servants. Could be he means as a result of Kishgaga Yotam Mipi Ashalat that that's what happens. Ashalat makes a mistake and the whole thing is turned over. Because of one mistake, which would tie into what he said before. That one emotion, the slightest, when a person's in the situation of the shalit, That one slight emotional mistake, and it's all over. You see? There's an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos that gives a different shot from the pasuk of Zuvei Mavis Yavish Yabi Hashem Rokeach. He says it means something else. He says it means that a person cannot say to himself, look, there's such a thing as being a chassid. A chassid is on a very high level. But what's so bad with being a tzaddik? Tzaddik is lower. So he says that he says in that pasuk, this pasuk of Zvuvei Mavis Yavish Yabi Hashem Rakeach Yochom Echok Mekavet Tzichus Mar, he says it means that if a person doesn't go all the way, and if a person says I don't have to be a chassid, but I will be a tzaddik, it's enough if I be a tzaddik, he says, then the person is going to be totally destroyed.
Don't we have hold of that concept though in terms of
what does he mean? What does he mean? What does he mean to say over there? He means to say there's no compromise. There's no compromise with the person's with the Yetzer Hara, with the evil inclinations. There's no compromise. A person can't say, I'll be satisfied, I'll be on a lower level. Why is that so? Why is that so? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't a person really say that? Look, I won't be a chassid, so I'll be a tzaddik. What's wrong? Yeah, in other words, the reason is because he doesn't recognize it as being the good. If he recognizes it as being the good, you can't say, it's impossible for a person to say, I only want so much of the good. It's impossible. Man's nature is, whatever is good he wants, as much as he can get. Every little bit he knows is going to increase his life, his happiness, his chai olam hazeh, chai olam habo, everything. So how can he make any, how can he say he wants us? The answer is, because to him, it's not real. It's not really the good. It's just like a conscience type of thing. You see, like a superego thing. So, I won't be this much, I'll be this much. It's really something that he doesn't believe is really good. It's just that he can't accept the fact that he's going to be a Rasha. He doesn't want to be classified as a Rasha. So therefore he says, look, classifying me as a tzaddik will be enough for me. Enough for me means he doesn't recognize the inherent value. It's just like a superego type of thing in his mind. But it's not an inherent value. That's the way the Rabbeinu Yonah says that. The person who does that is basically saying like this. It's really not that good a thing, you see? But I can't ignore it. It is such a phenomenon. So this is enough for me. That's it. Next thing he says, and he's still speaking about rulership, he says, Chofer Gumatz Bo Yipo. He who digs a pit, we will himself fall into that pit. That's impossible trust. Uforates Goder Yishchana Nochash. And the one that breaks the fence will get bitten by the snake. It means he breaks the fence for his own purposes. But then, because he broke the fence, the snake comes in and it will bite him. And he brings his more mashallah, Masiya Avonim Yeotzeh Bayim. The guy carries the stones, he himself will suffer. Bokeh Eitzim, someone who lays down the wood in order to create a trap, a snare for somebody else, Yisochein Bom. He himself will become endangered. And the Mitzvah Dovah is an interesting thing. Mitzvah Dovah says, the Kefa Adorah Ponim Rabbos. He mentions this, he repeats it several times. Why? Kederach HaMikrav HaLomar Shebechol Tom who came. It's always that way. Why do you have to say it's always that way? And it can't be possible a person should make a snare for somebody else and he doesn't fall into it? And why isn't it possible? How many times do you see people have done that, have accomplished that? Okay? It's an interesting thing. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ibn Ezra disagrees with him, because Ibn Ezra says, Ach, Barov, Chofer Gumatz Bo Yipo. Barov, he says, on the whole, but not always. Okay, but let's understand why it has to be that way on the whole either. Alright? What's the reason? Now, the reason is a simple one. See, what he's speaking about, the Gumatz, he's speaking about still about the emotions of the ruler, the power, the desire for power. What he means is that this desire that man has for power will cause him, of course, in his rise for power, to create snares for other people in order to reach the top. But he says eventually he's going to fall into his own snare. Why? What he means is like this. And that's the reason, basically, that you can attribute the fact that that people on the whole, at least generally, let's say at least like the Ibn Ezra, that it's very hard, very difficult for a person to take over the world, or Russia to take over the world. Why? It's a fortune, it happens to be a good thing. because it's such an irrational thing to begin with that it means that he's completely overpowered by irrationality. Since that's the case, it's impossible that he should not make a mistake and have a tremendous disaster. You see? That's what I mean. That's the basic idea. That the quest for such a thing is so irrational that it means inherently the person has to be tremendously irrational. If he's tremendously irrational, he's not going to make it. See? That's it. Hofa gumas bo yipo. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Fortunate for mankind that that's the case. Okay. Oh, yeah, according to what I'm saying, it's very good that Mitzvah's Dover is good. Mitzvah's Dover is good. Because if he's speaking on the ultimate objective, it can't fail. Can't fail. I guess I don't think it's really machlokas. I think the Ibn Ezra is not speaking in terms of the total plan. He's speaking along the way. On the whole, once so he's successful with a certain amount, but eventually it means that most of the time he's not going to make it, and that's going to be his downfall. But along the way, there are cases where individual cases you can create a snare in the guy's court. I don't think it's much like it. Just a question of how you interpret it. Now he goes on. I'm skipping the next pasuk. Yud. Again, it's a pasuk that I don't really understand too well. Let's take the next pasuk. Yud Aleph. Nishoch Hanoch. Can't look. We have to be happy with what we understand it. And Nishoch Hanochash Belo Lochash. Vein Yisron Leval Alasha. He's talking about the irrationality of man. And the irrationality of man insofar as what? Insofar as his Ruach HaMoshel is concerned. You see? Insofar as his Ruach HaMoshel is concerned. And he naturally follows, and this is a pasuk, of course, that's always quoted about Lashon Hara. You see? In Yisho Hanochash B'lo Lochash V'ein Yisro L'Bala Lashon. It means like this. Yeah. It means to say, what benefit is there to the person who is who speaks against another individual? You see? Speaks against another. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Gemara uses this pasuk as a marshal. The Gemara says, why does the people that they... they ask the Nachash, what do you get out of injecting poison into people? So he said, Ain Yisrael about a Lashon. What do people get out of talking against another person, Lashon Hara? You see? So from this pasuk, what it means like this, what the pasuk means is that the irrationality of the Moshel finds its expression in Lashon Hara. Because basically, and what is Lashon Hara really? Lashon Hara is where he fulfills his fantasy verbally. See? His fantasy is really to destroy others and to have power. And he can't do it in actuality. No one can do it in actuality so readily. So therefore he makes recourse to a very simple mechanism through which he could do it immediately. And that is through Lashon. Through destroying others. Lashon Hara. Okay? So what happens is, of course, what's happening to this person, aside from, of course, the damage that it causes in the society, by creating a rift among the people. That, of course, the pasuk speaks about. They'll say, Lach Rachel Amecha, and a person that's involved in such a thing, and that's their primary preoccupation, that the person is a worthless individual. It's a terrible fate. But over here, he's just talking about the idea that the person, what the fool does, what the sakhal does is, you see, he goes into it's an imaginary state, because he's satisfying his emotion in an infantile way, just through imagination and verbalization. So what happens to him is that he eventually is reduced to a situation where his satisfactions don't partake of reality anymore. And he's satisfying that emotion just verbally. That's being used from about Lashon. Okay? The Lashon is where it's expressed. That's why he says in the next pasuk, Divrei fi chacham chayim, the sifsos ksil tevalenu. He says, the words of the chacham are beautiful, but the lips of the fool will swallow them up. It means to say, because since the fool just caters to all of his emotions, as emotions have overpower him, where they expressed first, their first form of expression, is verbally. That will destroy him. That will swallow him up. But the Divrei Fi Chacham is saying that the Chacham speaks about ideas and concepts. So therefore he doesn't use his ability to verbalize, he doesn't utilize it to satisfy infantile emotions, but rather to improve his soul in Chokhmah. Okay? Then he says, Vasochol Yarbet Vorm. And the fool will speak a lot of words. That's again the reason. Why does the fool speak a lot of words? He speaks a lot. He talks a lot, the fool. The fool talks a lot because the speaking is an expression and an exit for all of his infantile, his pent up infantile emotions. So therefore he talks a lot. Quantity. You see? Then he says the second half of the pasuk is a little bit difficult. I'm going to take the Ibn Ezra's approach. Because it says, suddenly he says, Lo yeda ha'odam ma'ashayiyah, va'ashayiyah me'achrav mi'yagilo. A person doesn't know what will be, and whatever will be afterwards, who will tell him? You don't understand what this is talking about in the first part of the pasuk. So the Ibn Ezra says that that's what the fool says. Those are the words of the fool. Among his many things that he always talks, these are the things that this is his premise. What's his premise is, a person doesn't know what's going to be, and a person doesn't know what's going to happen, and who's going to tell him what happens in the future. In other words, he pleads ignorance. You see, now it's an interesting thing. But later, in Yud Aleph, where he speaks about the Chacham, he speaks about the Chacham not knowing. He seems to say that that's a very good thing. If you take a look at Yud Aleph, he says like this. He says, Kasha in Yud Aleph Hey, Kasha ein cho yadeya ma derech haruach, kat samim bet namaleya, just like you don't know which way the wind is going to blow. You don't know what God is going to do. That just like when you're young, you should be productive. When you get older, you should be productive. And Rashi says it means if you learn Torah, if you mind me, tell me even when you're young, you should mind me when you get older. If you married when you were young and you had children, when you get older, you should marry a woman and have children again. Why? Of course, there's none of that. That was before the Chaim Ben Gershon. But anyways, you don't know which one is going to be, which children are going to be good, or which Talmidim are going to be good. So he says, Rashi says, he says that we find Rabbi Akiva that had 24,000 Talmidim, and they all died in a short period of time from Pesach to Atzeres. And he went to the people in the south. Rabbi Sanche Bedoram, and he learned, and he taught them. So over here also, so it seems that the Chacham bases his actions upon the fact that he doesn't know what's going to happen. All right? So why is he critical? But he seems to be saying, according to Ibn Ezra, that the fool is saying the same thing. Seems to be a similar type of thing. So the Chacham and the Socho are saying the same thing. It's impossible. What's the pshat? Now, pshat like this. The pshat is there are two types of pleading ignorance. See, there's an ignorance, a person can plead ignorance where he recognizes, knowledge dictates that he doesn't know. He actually doesn't know. In other words, a person doesn't know what's Masei Elokim. So he asks the Chacham has to act in accordance with the given that he has, and he has to do the correct action. But he can't feel that he was successful in accomplishing his action. Because who knows what's going to be? So therefore, if he was minded Talmidim when he was young, he asked him out to me when he was older. But who knows? That's the story of the Kiva. Unfortunate tragedy. Minded Talmidim over here means that he must do what he can to ensure the future of Klal Yisrael. Every person has an obligation to do what he can to ensure the future of Klal Yisrael. So in any way that he can. Mishinantam Levanecho, I mean, everything that he does has to be done for that purpose. So the point is, he doesn't know what's going to happen. So therefore, he must always act rationally and do the rational thing at the moment. But that is a rational ignorance. But the fool's ignorance is a different kind of ignorance. The fool's ignorance is because he doesn't want to know. See? There's another kind of person that looks like he's a chacham when he says, "Well, who knows?" It sounds very intelligent, but his who knows isn't based upon the fact that he's made a rational evaluation of the situation and now he sees that he really can't know. It's beyond human knowledge. It's simply because he doesn't want to find out certain things. Because certain things that he finds out will cause him to have to act in a way which goes against his emotions. That's the Divrei Socha. Sounds intelligent, but it It's based upon another life. It's common thinking. Who knows? Why should I go and work and do this? Who knows what's going to happen? See, that's the fool. Because the truth of the matter is, why does he say that? Because he's lazy. Because he's lazy. So he says, who knows? You know, not because of chacham. So the pre-ignorance depends upon the particular person, the particular situation. And now it goes on like this. He says, Amalaksilam tiyagenu, asher lo yoda lo lechas aliyah. He says, the work of the fool will exhaust him, make him tired. Why? Because he doesn't know how to go to the city. What does it mean he doesn't know how to go to the city? It means he doesn't, it's a muscle. It means he can't find the straight road. He can't find the straight road. Can't find the straight road. Yeah, what does it mean? It means like this. It means that a person's emotions involve him, cause him to be involved in so many activities that are frustrating and can't bring about his desired goal, because he can't think at the time clearly of the simple solution to the problem. That's what it means. Am malaksil tiagenu, the work of the fool exhausts him. Because he can't think of the way to, he doesn't know the road to the city. He knew the road to the city is very easy. Get on the road and you're there. But because he's a ksil and he's all wrapped up in by his emotions, he can't possibly see the simple solution. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. That means, like in history, that's happened many times. Because like we today are involved in the Amalek ksil. Because after the Second World War, if they would have taken over, turned around, taken over Russia, so they could have avoided a lot of problems before you let them gain power. But no, because there's an emotion, they were an ally, this, can't do it. So the emotions of the fool, Tiageno, that's why you have to be involved in plans and counter plans and all kinds of the nuclear threats and disarmaments and the whole situation. Why? Because he couldn't follow a simple solution, move in and do it. That's the pasuk. That's why he says, "Iloch eretz shel malkech noar." Yeah, before they got some. Iloch eretz shel malkech noar v'sarayech baboke yachel. Iloch eretz means woe unto the land shel malkech noar. That means that your rulers are children. Noar means that they're tied to their child. Because you see, how does he identify what are the emotions? The emotions are come from childhood. The infantile part of man. It says, woe unto the country whose leaders are nar, are tied to their infantile emotions. Very appropriate, huh? The sarayach baboki yachelo. And the first thing they do is they get up in the morning and he wears breakfast. Ashreich eretz. Ashreich eretz. Happy is the land, shemalkech ben chorin. That you have true leaders. The sarayach bo'es yochelo. They eat in the proper time. Bigvura v'lov ashi. With strength and not with the drinking. You see? So what is he saying? He's saying, he's talking about the emotion of the politician. And how important it is, this ruach hamoshel, how important it is to find people that are capable leaders. Because it's ilach aretz. It's ilach aretz. Woe is to the country that has to suffer because the leaders are tied to infantile emotions. That's the problem. Now he goes on and says like this: Ba'atzaltayin nimach hamakora, uveshiflos yadayin yidloch habayis. He says that with laziness, the roof caves in, and with the weakening of the hands, it means he doesn't move his hands, so the downpour, the rain, pours into the house. Okay. What does he mean? Why does he bring this in? Laziness. It's a funny thing. I mean, a lot of bad traits. Why does he bring in laziness? I'll tell you what. There's two types of laziness, really. There's a kind of laziness that we joke around about. It's sort of like a harmless kind of thing. But there's a serious... Laziness really stems from a serious emotion. You see, when a person... The infantile part of man, the infantile emotions that cause him to stray and to be unproductive, really, are very much tied to laziness. Very much tied to laziness. Because laziness is basically a refusal for a person to set his emotions or his energies to work in reality. That's the basic underlying emotion of laziness. Laziness means laziness is actually an escape from reality. That's basically what it is. That's basically what it is. It's an escape from reality. It's a desire to escape from reality and to simply withdraw and assume that everything's going to be fine, because the person believes, has this inner belief that if he just wants to withdraw and just be happy. In other words, follow his emotions. He can't accept the external reality. It's the barrier that a person sets up, that, because actually in youth, a child doesn't know about reality. I mean, he has tremendous satisfactions when he's very, but then he learns that there's a reality, and he has to break out of his satisfying emotional condition where he's being taken care of by the mother, and now he has to leave this wonderful state, this enjoyable state. He has to leave that state, and he has to exercise his energies and his abilities on the external world and recognize the external world. But there's a tremendous desire to withdraw. Tremendous desire, an unconscious force that a person has, that he simply wants to withdraw to an earlier state. That's the real underlying source of laziness. Laziness is really withdrawal. That's why he says that emotion is the most dangerous emotion. The laziness will cause the roof to break down and the rain to come in. It means that the person has a sense that it's going to be all right. I don't have to do anything. Things are going to be okay. It's like the security that it's going to be okay stems from an earlier state where things were okay in an earlier time. And the desire that things should be that way. And because of that, you go for both. Because of that, the rain, eventually the downpour, enters the house and destroys his property. Because of the withdrawal from reality. Powerful force. People don't recognize the extent of that force. They don't recognize the full extent of that force. That's why one moment of hesitation can destroy a person's life. One moment of hesitation. That's the part. Then he says, "Lischokosim lechem, the yayin yisama chayim, v'kesef yanas akol." He says these leaders, what they do is they're constantly involved in partying. Lischokosim lechem, the yayin yisama chayim, and they're involved in the drinking, the enjoyments. You see. By Kesef Yanasakal. So Rashi learns by Kesef Yanasakal. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Inain Kesef Ein Suda." He says that it's true that a person. It's an interesting shot, Rashi. Rashi says by Kesef Yanasakal. Most people say it's a bad thing. Rashi learns a good thing. Kesef Yanasakal means, what does it mean? It means money answers everything. But he means that Rashi says, "Inain Kesef." A person doesn't have any money, Ein Suda. So he can't have any suda. Lefikach lo yisatil odom in amlocha kadei sheyehelo malahotzi. Which means to say that finances is a rational element in a person's, helps a person in his life. Why? Because a person gets lost in the suda, gets lost in eating, drinking, he's away from reality. But the fact remains that he knows that in order to have the suda, he has to earn money. And earn money means he has to exercise his abilities in the external world. So actually the kesef, the fact that he has to earn money, is something which keeps him rational. It's something which keeps him rational. It gives him, he has to think to himself, look, I can't have this enjoyment unless I have the money. So that is something that attaches him to the rational, to the external world. It's an attachment, the basic attachment to the external world. Guards him from going crazy. What he says, it's really a summation, basically. He talks about the rational way of life. He talks about the rational way of life. And he says, Gam b'madocho melech al takalel, even in your innermost chambers, you shouldn't curse a king. U'v'chadrei mishkofcho al takal lashir. And you shouldn't curse In your bedroom chamber, you shouldn't curse a very wealthy person. The person has a lot of power. Because the birds of the heavens will carry the sound, will carry the voice. And the ones that have wings will tell. Will tell. Which means to say, what does it mean to say? It means to say like this. The cursing of the melech is an irrational thing. Or the cursing of the usher. Why? It stems from the fact that the person hates the other person because the other person has power over him. You see, has power over him. Or it stems from an envy. And basically, if a person gets caught up in that emotion, he can harm himself. Because actually, he should look at it in reality. And if he gets caught up in that emotion, that is a very powerful emotion which causes a person to cause himself great harm. Because instead of realizing that the melech can do him harm, and instead of hating him, you should simply assume, we spoke about this, simply accept him as a part of reality, and just deal with him realistically. But the thing is, what he's bringing out is that the fool can't do that, because the fool is tied to his emotions. And a fool only acts upon an instant emotional satisfaction. And that's why the next pasuk says also, it says, Shalach lach mechal p'nei amoyim, ki b'riyov hayom nisfinsano. Okay? Spread your bread upon the waters, because and as days go by, you'll find it. What does it mean to say? He says, Rashi says, Asei tova v'chesed la'adam. Do good and kindness to a person, sheyom alecho libcho alav al tirenu od. That your heart tells you, you'll never see this guy again. So why should I be nice to him? Why should I do him a favor? He says, no. He says, kodem shemashlach mezonot al pnei amoyim. Why? Ki b'riyov v'yom intensenu. Because as days go by, you can never tell. This person you did a little favor to, small favor, but you meet him again sometime, and it can result in a tremendous benefit. But a fool says, I'll never see him again. What do I care? I'll spit in his face. What do I care? He likes me, doesn't like me. That's a person that acts by the emotion. And he says like this. Rashi says, what was the case? The case was by Yisro. Because Yisro, he says, saw Moshe Rabbeinu, and he thought Moshe Rabbeinu was a Mitzri, the Egyptian. What did he need him for? But no, he said, no, call the man in. He helped his daughters. Moshe Rabbeinu helped his daughters with the well. An Egyptian who did this? Ish Mitzri, it's the woman of the Aron. So Yisro could have said, I'll never see this guy again. It happened, he came along, he helped my daughter, he's traveling through. Who needs him? He did the favor, goodbye. I'm happy, I gained. You see? No, Yisro said, call him in, kill him over Yochalochim, call him in for supper. Because he was Market Tova. And what happened, Rashi says? Because of that, he says, Ma Yasofo, Nasa Chosno. He became his son-in-law. Melech al Yisrael, king of all of Israel. Ve'chniso tachas kanfei Hashchina. Because of that, he brought him under the kanfei Hashchina. He taught him Torah, gave him the whole system and the whole Derech HaChayim of Torah, Torah Mesinai. And his zachu b'nei bonav b'nei bonav leishev b'lishkas ha'gozes. And his grandchildren and their children were zachu to be part of the Sanhedrin. So that's what Rashi says. That says shalach lachmachos means a person that's really rational doesn't act upon the instant gratification of the emotions, but he thinks, he's totally objective. So what would it cost? The man deserves it. He doesn't call him in for supper, give him a meal. Because of that, he was zocha to unbelievable reward and benefits for himself personally and for his children and his grandchildren and great grandchildren. That's the way the chacham works. But the fool only works for the moment. Huh? I got a favor out of him? Who needs him? Forget it. Why do I have to go out of my way? Why should I give him food? Food costs money. What do you need for? See? That's the difference between the chacham and between the sacha. And I think actually, you have a similar thing with Mordechai. Because what happened? Mordechai overheard Bigson Vaseresh that they were plotting against the king, against Ahasuerus, an insurrection. And you see that actually Ahasuerus don't find was such a big tzaddik. It's so good to the Jews anyways. And you don't see it. And they made a mishnah, and the Jews had to come, and it's not. But Mordechai actually thought to himself, he had to make a decision. What's the rational decision here? And the decision was that he's better off with the melech. Better off with the melech. So that's why he did the rational action, and because of that, what happened later? He saved the whole Dom office, because the king couldn't sleep, and he brought the Divrei Yomim, and who was Manasa, he called Bula Mordechai also. Manasa Madova, take him out. See? Well, it shows that the rational, the chacham just works with the rational action at the time, and because he is rational in every respect, you're not aware of the tremendous benefits that there are in the long-term gains. A long-term gain. That's the chacham. The chacham is a man of long-term gains. The fool is a man of, even in the same world, we're not talking about the world of chacham. I mean, forget about it. The fool has no part in that whatsoever. But even in the fool's world, the chacham himself is much higher. Gains more. Yeah?
That's
right. The chacham, it says, I mentioned yesh macha, kishocha bincha macha, yesh macha and kish. That's the chacham. To the fool, long term doesn't exist. To the chacham, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now is just as much a reality as now. And then the conclusion is like this. You see, that's why he says, smach bacha bialdesecha v'yitivcha libcha v'mebechur asecha v'halech b'dachi libecha v'mare enecha v'doa k'yal kol elu v'yichol v'kimba mishpat. That a person, here he gets to what the crux of the problem is. The crux of the problem is the childish emotions, the yimei hayaldas, the emotions of yaldas, the emotions of youth. The emotions of youth really represent, actually, of course, the Gemara says, of course, that kiyetsa leiv adam ramin urav, a pasuk in Torah, mishosh and nina alotzeis mi bet and emo, from the time that he actually arrives and emerges from his mother's womb, which means the instinctual life starts very early. That's the Yetzer Hara until he's 13. Yetzer Tov only begins after he's 13 years old, where he has Sechel. But what happens is there's two stages. The early stage is simply the instinctual. But then later in his teens and in the youth, in his 20s, in the young part of his life, he actually is involved in trying to translate these instincts into a way of life. He's trying to translate them into a way that he can enjoy them, that he can adapt them to his life. You see, that's the Yemei Hayaldas, and it's a time when a person believes in their emotions very strongly in their emotions. That's the Yemei Hayaldas, and that's why he says, but you should know. Which means you can't escape the reality of God's law. Means, as I told you, a kas means anger is because reality doesn't conform to your life. That's the underlying statement. The crux of the whole issue over here. Hayaldus v'ashachras hava. What does it mean? Hayaldus v'ashachras hava. It means that a person can only reach perfection when he actually senses with his whole being that the emotions of Yaldas and Shachras means when he's young, his hair is black. Okay, Yaldas for Shachras Hago. That he recognizes that whole mentality of Yaldas and Shachras, he can look at it and say that it's Hevel. This is Hevel. It's false. Then he's on a level where he can reach perfection. For a young person, it's very hard to do, because a young person's emotion is very powerful, and you can't expect a young person to do this, but he should be aware of it. See, but as a person gets older and a person perfects himself more with age, and the purpose of age is really that we should perfect ourselves, when he reaches a level where he can look at the emotions of the elders and chakras and sense completely with his whole being, with his emotions and his intellect and everything, that it's heaven, then he's reached a level. Of course, in the world, it's exactly the opposite. As people get old, they're trying to get back to the emotions of the Aldus and Shachras. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to recapture. Facelift. Yeah. So not to deny the reality that the Aldus and Shachras is over. That's the American society. That's the society of the Scholem, of the fools. But it's in the Chacham, no, on the contrary. The Chacham, as he gets older, he's happy because he can face the realization that Yaldas and Shachras is Havel. He could stare it in the eye and he could simply throw it away. And because he has Chachman, and he's happy that his lot is with the Chachamim and with the truth. What is it? Tzila Shasamta Chalki Ben Yoshe Beis HaMedrash, Shalos Samta Chalki Ben Yoshe Krom. That's a true appreciation, and is expressed in that tefillah. A person reaches that level, he recognizes a yalbus. The last part of the sefer is on another tape. Chaim Hirschnoff added a very good thing. The Rambam says, when he speaks about the Ashgacha, so the Rambam says that even the great tzaddik is only under the Ashgacha when he's involved in Chachma. So the question is why? Why only when he's involved in Chachma? He's still the same tzaddik when he's not involved in Chachma. The answer is he's not. Because only when he's in Chachma is his soul in the proper order. And the moment he stops learning, then he's a different person. That's why Ashgacha is only when he's involved in Chachma.